So good to see y'all this morning. Hope everyone's doing well on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Ask y'all if you can, if you'd just stand. We're just going to reach up to the Lord and just let Him, Lord, continue to minister to us. And yes, God is great. God is great. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. Yes, Lord. And also, as we go to prayer, just remember those that are sick, those that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason, going through procedures, therapy, those that are even going through chemo at this time that we've talked about this morning, and so many other things. But God knows each and every one, and we just love Him. And for those that are lost, let's reach out, let the Lord just touch them, that they'll hear His Word and find that place of repentance and just turn their life over to the Lord. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You this morning, dear Lord. We want to thank You for this beautiful day You've given us, this opportunity we have to gather in Your house. And in Your mighty name, dear Lord, may we stand together in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, may we release anything that's distracting us this morning. And dear Lord, be in tune to Your Spirit, to Your Word, dear Lord, as it's read and Your message is brought forth. Lord, we ask now that You'll accept every instrument played, every song sung, every hand that's raised. Lord, that we just want to lift You up and just praise and honor You. Dear Lord, for this wonderful time that You've given us, this wonderful day. Lord, we just thank You and we love You and we praise You, dear Lord, for all the testimonies of praise. Lord, for all the things that You've done. Dear Lord, You are the provider. And, dear Lord, You know the needs of each and every situation. You see the hands that were raised this morning, dear Lord, and You know the depths of our heart. And, Lord, we ask now that You'll just touch each and every one and, dear Lord, their needs. And, Lord, we know that You'll heal. Lord, we know that You are the great I am, dear Lord, and we're just honoring You. Lord, we ask now that You'll just bless our pastor and his family, all the ministries that go forth out of this church, dear Lord, because it's not about us, it's all about You. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory. And in Jesus' name, we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give Him another hand clap of praise. We can't praise Him enough. Amen, amen, amen. While you're standing, turn to page 306, The Old Gospel Ship. Praise God. It's a familiar song. Let's just all just lift up the Lord. Do you have the good news to bring?
I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joys with You. a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I'm gonna take a trip to that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. If you're ashamed of me, you'll have no cause to be, for with Christ I am in air. Yes, Lord. It's too much fault you'll find, you're surely left behind while I go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip on that good old gospel ship.
I'm going far beyond the sky.
You may be seated if you can. If you've got that good news and those testimonies, what God has done in your life and what He can do in someone else is how He saved us. And He's reached us down from that miry clay and just brought us up to be new in Him again. We need to just continue just to bring His Word. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering this morning. Are you going to have practice at 5? Go ahead.
We will have practice at 5 o'clock for the Christmas program. Also, we have a family that the church has sort of adopted to help them with Christmas. They have 5 children. And so I've got the names of the kids and things that they need or things that they want. If you want to see me after church, I'll give you a paper. Or if you'd rather just give money toward it, then somebody can go buy all the stuff. It's just up to you. But please help, because these kids don't really have a whole lot.
Amen. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our morning offering, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for blessing you back in the house of worship.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just ask you to be with each and every one that's here with us this morning, Lord. Ask you to bless the ones that's not with us, Lord. With the illness or travel, Lord, we just ask you to put your loving arms around and protect them, Lord. Lord, we ask you now to bless this offering. Lord, we pray for you and for your ears.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you to bless the giver and the non-giver. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Amen. One more hand clap for the Child of the King drama team. Amen. Whew. I'm tired and I was just listening. I was thinking if they played that music, my sermon would last about 5 minutes. I'd have it all preached and both feet was going wide open. But we certainly appreciate our young folks. Yes. And so many times we fail to remember that they're actually having service too out in Children's Church. So that's a big portion of our congregation as they go out there. And we thank God for those who are leading them and teaching them, amen, in the way. And we thank God for the talent that they have. Well, we have a busy schedule this morning, as you can see. But you know what? We're going to have the opening of the doors of the church. We're going to have a beautiful family that's going to be coming into the church this morning. We'll be receiving them into full membership. And also, we're going to have a baptismal service. And in between that, I'm going to try to squeeze a sermon. And you just pray that we'll get it all in there. But at this time, I want to read some scripture, and then we're going to have the Arnold family come forward after I read the scripture as we open up the doors of the church this morning to receive them into full membership of First Pentecostal Church. You don't have to stand for this reading. We're going to bring the sermon just a little bit later, but I want to read some scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. Beginning with verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We would ask those who would come forward of the Arnold family this morning, and if you would stand before the congregation. Let's give them a hand as they come. Welcome. Amen. Praise God. We dearly love this family. They're precious. We already feel like they're members. Amen. They've just been such a great attribute to our church, and just we love them from the very first time that we met them. but they do want to take full membership in the First Pentecostal Church this morning, and we encourage that, and we understand that there's no salvation in joining the church, but it is good to be a part of the body of Christ. A much bigger body, by the way, than what we just see here this morning. Dearly beloved, the Scriptures teach us that the church is the body of which Christ is the head. The great family which bears the name of Christ is the army which follows him as captain. We are related to each other as members of his body, as brothers and sisters in his great household. We are in fact fellow soldiers in his victorious army. Into this holy relationship, the persons before us come now to join this local assembly and hereby receive full membership into the First Pentecostal Church of Villarica, Georgia. We hope to be a source of strength and help to you as you strive to live the Christian life, and trust that you in turn will be a source of help and strength to us. May the Lord bless you in your service to him. We hereby welcome and receive you into the membership of this church, and cordially extend to you the right hand of fellowship in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At this time, because of certain circumstances, we're going to have the right hand of fellowship, but we're going to pass it and let you pass and just tell them how much you love them and you receive them. But we will restrain from the shaking of hands and the hugging of necks at this time because of situations that arise in the world today. I know that God can protect us, but if you'll just pass around, I'm going to be the very first, but I'm going to ask the Lord to just touch my body and their body as I'm going to welcome them in with a handshake and a hug, if that's all right.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. Let's agree together that all our enemies will crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Jesus, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Jesus, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. One more hand clap. We invite you back tonight to come and be with us, and we're going to give that family an opportunity, if they would, this evening service, amen, to just give a little word of testimony and let them know that we love them so much. And maybe most of you are familiar with their background, but maybe they can share a little bit of that tonight. And we just love each and every one of you. Amen. I forgot to put that on the program.
Okay.
How many is thankful for the honor and privilege to be able to walk with the Lord or have Him walk with us each and every day of our life? See if you can relate. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has He failed me. Where to Him with my trouble I go. Just let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without never, no, never make heaven my home. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but thank God, but not one time has He failed me. Went to Him with my trouble I go. If you know the chorus, sing it with me. So let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without You, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Thank You, Lord Jesus. If you love Him, give Him praise this morning. So good to have you with us this morning. Let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how thankful we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, please go with us to the book of St. John, the very first chapter, verses 10 and verse 11. From the book of St. John, chapter number 1, verses 10 and 11. As we prepare what we feel that the Lord has laid upon our heart this morning, and as also we're preparing to have a baptismal service immediately after the sermon this morning, we're just so thankful that a good brother who came from Austin, Texas, by the name of Austin, back to Georgia where he belongs. And he is going to be baptized this morning, Austin Owen. So give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Praise God. We will be preparing for that just shortly. In St. John chapter 1, verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, God, to honor You, to praise and worship You, Father, for Your goodness, for Your mercy, for Your salvation. Father, we're thankful for each and every one who's come into this congregation this morning. Father, we pray that You would bless and anoint, God, every person here. God, just open up that precious window of heaven. Pour out of Your Spirit, God, I ask that You would anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint this vessel, Lord, as nothing more. God, as an oracle and a conduit that the Holy Spirit might speak to us this morning. God, we do remember those who are suffering. Many are sick. Many are afflicted. But God, we know that You are a healing God. And I pray right now that You would minister healing to each and every one who stands in need of prayer. We'll give You praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, How Could You Not Know Jesus? How could you not know Jesus? Verses 1 through 9 in that same chapter, in that same book, said, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible plainly tells us who Jesus is. If you read the Gospels, you'll understand what His mission was. If you read in the book of Genesis, you'll understand that God is the creator of all things. There was not anything made that is made that was not made by the hand of God. And I believe that with all of my heart. There is a saying going around that has become quite popular today, believe the science. Can I share with you this morning, believe the Word of God. Amen. Believe the Word of God. Amen. Let man be a lie and God the truth. Believe what the Word of God says. And if it's contrary to the Word of God, then leave it alone. But the Bible plainly tells us in no uncircumstantial terms that who Jesus is and what His mission was. But yet the world knew Him not. They saw Him. They witnessed His miracles. They saw Him feed the 5,000. They saw Him heal the leper. They saw Him open the blinded eyes. Many heard Him preach and teach out on the Sermon on the Mount. They saw, they felt, they understood, but they didn't know Him. They didn't know Him as Savior. I believe the world seemingly doesn't know Jesus today. Many times that you would ask someone and they would give you some type of answer, but do we understand that just knowing Jesus, knowing who He is, does not bring salvation? There has to be a personal relationship. Oh, can I get a testimony? Anybody here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? To know Him intimately, to invite Him in to our life, to invite Him to be Lord and Savior of our life. It is the greatest thing that there is, and the only way to salvation is through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb who came from the Father and willingly died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. There was no guilt in Him. There was no deceit. There was no guile. He came humbly as a sheep before its shearers. And He didn't offer up any resistance, but He gave His life willingly so you and I can live. What a blessing and what a privilege to know who Jesus is and to know what it means, His birth, His death, and His resurrection. Many people will celebrate the birth of Christ during this season and have no idea about His death and resurrection. They'll claim or proclaim that He was a little babe born in a stable, which He was. But Bible prophecy even points to that. Man, He would have came as a king, but not recognized as a king. He came as a Savior, but many in the world turned their back on Him. And even today, as we see what is transpiring in this world, the one, the only thing that would help anybody in this civilization that we're living in is to accept Jesus Christ into their life. But it seems to be the farthest thing from anybody's heart, their mind, and even their desire. How could you not know who Jesus is? Many people heard about Him in a Sunday school class years and years ago. I've often heard people talk about having a relationship with the Lord when they was a small child. And I wondered, what happened? Did you walk away from Jesus? Did you walk away from His precepts? From His statutes, from His commandments, from His desire to live within your life and to lead and guide you. Because when they begin to talk about, for some reason they got out of the will of God. Oh, I pray this each and every day of my life because I'm human. How many know as human we need the Lord in our life? And I say, Father, do not let me stray from Your will, but if I do, forgive me, Lord, and make me to know, God, my downfall, make me to know that I must come with a repentant and a contrite spirit and ask for Your forgiveness. God, I don't want to stray from Your will. I don't want to walk out of that path that You have laid before me, because one night at an altar, I found out who Jesus really is. He's not just a story. He's not just a baby that's lying in a manger. He is the Savior of my soul. He is the Savior of the world. Even the angels knew it when they sang the song, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Oh, that the world would recognize Him. Oh, that the world would accept Him and His mission on this earth. For what it meant for the sinful state of mankind. This week, my heart has been touched heavily by the account that happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew that His life here on earth was drawing close to an end. I thought about that. And I thought about in my several years of pastoring and ministering, it has been customary to be at the bedside of a precious saint of God who knows that it is drawing near for them to leave this walk of life. And even that, we don't know the day nor the hour. But we have prayed with the family. We've sat and held hands of those who seemingly were gasping for one more breath. And I thought about that as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had asked three of His closely associated disciples to not only follow Him into the Garden of Gethsemane, but pray. He began to try to prepare them for what was inevitable, that He would in fact face death on a cruel cross of Calvary. We know and understand that Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in man. Sometimes we fail to remember that man part, that flesh part, that felt pain like you and I do, that felt remorse as we do. And He prayed there. He asked the disciples to stay here and pray, and He went just a little farther. And I preached a message on that one time. Sometimes we're not willing to go the same path that Jesus went.
will follow him to a certain point. But you know what? Jesus went a little farther with his prayer. He went about a stone's throw from where the disciples was. But that stone's throw might as well have been a million trillion miles, amen, in the earnesty of his prayer that he prayed. The disciples prayed for a little while, and like the church, they grew weary. Sleep began to take hold of their eyes, and soon they nodded off. Not because they were awful sinners, not because they were terrible people, but because they were human beings like you and myself, who sometimes grow weary in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes we grow weary in our ministry. We grow weary in what God has called us to do. It's not because we're bad folks. It's because we're human. Jesus came back. He said, "What, could you not watch an hour? Could you not pray with me?" And then he goes back and he does that three times and he prays, the Bible says, until his sweat became as great drops of blood and it poured out on the sand there on the ground where he was praying and petitioning the Father. And that wonderful, glorious phrase that Jesus uttered, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." I know my mission. I know that I am destined to be the sacrificial lamb. I know that without the shedding of this blood, that there is no remission of sin for humanity. And as he cried, "Father, let this cup, if there's any other way, let it pass from me." But he followed that up very quickly because I think he saw humanity. I want to make it personal. I think he saw you. I think he saw me, and he knew if he did not fulfill his destiny, if he did not go ahead and willingly give his life on the cross of Calvary, it would be up to me and you, man, to live a life, a sinless life. And he said, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done." And this week, my mind has been overwhelmed with the loneliness that Jesus endured in that garden. He counted on those friends. He counted on those disciples. But he did not harbor any ill feelings toward them. He understood. The last time he said, "Sleep on, for the hour now cometh." How that he had to face his final hours on this earth, the supreme sacrifice. He gave his all for us. And he prayed alone in the garden. No one to hold his hand. No one to comfort him. No one to pray with him. What a wonderful Savior. What a loving Savior. And then as he comes, he says, "That hour draws nigh." As I said before, as we accompanied those who were gasping for their last breath, did not know. Some it would last through the night, some 2 or 3 days, some maybe within the next hour. But Jesus knew the exact time and the exact way and exactly who was going to be there when he gave up his life on the cross of Calvary. And I was touched by the reading of the Scripture. In the book of St. Mark, chapter number 14, in fact, all Gospels, four Gospels, give an account of what transpired after Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I want to read what Mark wrote in the 43rd verse of the 14th chapter. Mark wrote this way, "And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12." Let that sink into your heart. One of the 12, handpicked by Jesus. "And with him a great multitude with swords and staffs from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders." It was not from a band of rebels. It was not from a militia. It was not from a soldier. It was from religious people. It was from scribes and priests and Pharisees who had seen Jesus but didn't know Him. And they came. And he that betrayed him had given them a token or a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." And my heart began to almost be broken. And I thought of all the signs, of all the tokens, of anything and everything that Judas could have chosen to point out the Christ, he chose a kiss. In the second chapter of the book of Psalms, it talks about kissing the Son and paying respect and homage and adoration unto the Son. The kiss in that day on the cheek was meant with total respect and friendship and admiration. It was never meant to be the kiss of death or the kiss of betrayal. A kiss is supposed to mean something, as it was in that day. And Judas had already he could have said, "The one I point to, the one I tap on the shoulder." But for some reason he chose that wonderful kiss that probably many times as they gathered together in friendship and love and prayer and maybe even the Last Supper or the Passover, maybe it was customary, but he chose that. The one in whom I kiss is the one I'm going to betray. I begin to think of the countless folks who have kissed the face of Jesus spiritually only to betray Him later in life. We really come down hard on Judas. Rightfully so. He was one of the 12. He was one of the chosen. But that lets me to know that sin can well up in anybody if it goes unchecked. Jesus would have forgiven him. Jesus would have refreshed and restored him. As soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, "Master, Master," and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me?" And as I read this next scripture, I was so moved. I was moved by a number of emotions. I was moved with the reality of maybe folks during their years, during their time, maybe have sit in the church seat, maybe have been going regularly to Bible study or to a Sunday school class or whatever the situation, hearing about Jesus, reading about Jesus, but never really knowing Jesus. Because the words of Christ here still ring in my mind. Jesus, after admonishing them for coming with staves and swords, that lets me to know they didn't know Jesus. There was no animosity. There was no bitterness. There was no anger in the Son of God. The Bible tells us that He would be willingly taken. He said, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Let me say, I was with you daily in the church house, but you didn't know me. I was with you when you prayed unto me, "Lord, help me through this situation." And time again I came on the scene for you. But you didn't receive me. I was there for you when you prayed for that fever to be calmed in your little child. And I was there and I came on the scene and I healed your little children. Yet you would not receive me. And I was haunted with this question. How could you not know Jesus? How can you get up in the morning and breathe the breath of life that is given from God and not know Jesus? How can you put your weight upon your feet each and every morning and know that that strength comes from Almighty God and not know Jesus? How can you turn to the hymnal and begin to sing Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound, and not know Jesus? How can you receive of His blessings? How can you receive of His healing and not know Jesus? And even yet today, we hear the threats. We hear the animosity, and we even hear the cursing of God to a people that He willingly gives them breath and life. How can you not know Jesus? How can you open the Word of God and not know Jesus? How can you really love one another and not love Jesus with your whole heart? Daily with you. Yet you didn't know me. You could have taken me any time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you've not received Jesus, if you've not invited Him in as your personal Savior, how could you leave today without the opportunity to make Him Lord of your life? It is such an urgent call. Every message, somewhere in that message, ought to contain a call to Jesus Christ. Folks, we ain't got time to preach denomination. We ain't got time to preach opinion. We ain't got time to preach what I said. We need to be pointing souls to Christ. Today is the day to give your life to Jesus. Today is the day to fully know who He is. And not only know Him, but invite Him in to your life. Because the prophetic Word of God tells us not the day nor the hour, but the signs are very evident that the soon coming of Christ is at hand. And even if that is not in the very near future, the very breath we breathe could be snatched from us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And how that breath leaves you is how you're going to face eternity. You will not be able to come back and give your life to the Lord when that breath of life leaves you. How could the world not know Jesus? How could anybody that reads the Scriptures not know Jesus? How anybody could feel what I feel now and not know Jesus? I'm going to try to close. I know that we have a baptismal service, but you know what? We've barely scratched the surface of what it is to know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I will leave you with this. I've heard people say, "Preacher, I've heard that preached all my life." And you still haven't made a move. You still haven't done anything about it. How could you not know Jesus? Listen, there's been enough sermons preached in this world to save a multitude. In fact, really, if you're humble in heart, you only need to hear the message one time to know that Jesus can take you from a sinful nature and fill you with His Spirit and guarantee you a place in heaven. My Lord in mercy, I've got a reservation. How about you? I've got a place that I'm going to. A better place than this world could ever offer. A place with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My, my, my. Glory to God. And part of that, His commandment is to be baptized. Brother Austin, if you would come, take your place over here and begin to prepare. I'll ask the singers to come and play something, and I will go and get ready for a baptismal service. And God bless you. I love you. If I don't get back to shake your hand and let you know how much I appreciate you coming, may I take this opportunity to let you know that I love you with all of my heart. If I can ever be of any help or assistance to you, please do not hesitate to call. I love you. I want to see each and every one of you in heaven. May God bless you as we prepare for a baptismal service.
If it's a foreign battlefield where I finally found your will, Lord, then that's where I want to be. In the desert without a drink, on some old ship about to sink, Lord, I'll go if you'll just speak to me. Speak the word, Lord, my ears long to hear you. Speak the word, Lord, my heart aches to know. Servant will go. Now there've been times that I've complained when life rubbed against the grain, and I recall those times you took me to my knees. But there's one thing I couldn't do, so I still owe this thanks to you. For it was you, Lord, who took my cross to Calvary. Speak the word, Lord, my ears long to hear you. Speak the word, Lord, my heart to know. Speak the word, Lord, I'll be what you'd have me to be. Speak the word, Lord, and your servant will go. Speak the word, Lord, my long to hear you. Speak the word, Lord, and your servant will go.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap.
Praise. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, as we prepare to depart, I just have to say this, that, you know, God's not finished. He is not finished right now. We just love and praise Him so much and just excited about the many things that's happening in the world today. And no matter the fear and anxiety that wants to be spread out there abroad, God is still who He is. Jesus Christ is still our Lord and Savior. And we just love and praise each and every one of you. Sister Linda, go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
But anyway, we're hopefully we'll resume our services in January. So I love you all. Merry Christmas. And I know that we would have had a great time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Miss Penny, you still said 5 o'clock for the... 5 o'clock for all those in... Well, that's right. And also for the children that she's got, if anybody would like to help, or two or three families want to go in and pick a child, or however you need to do it, just see Miss Penny right after the service. But we're not going to let y'all depart yet until, just to let you know, this altar is open. And if you do have, or this is the day that the Lord's pricked your heart, that you need to turn your life over to Him, or you need just to start your walk again, or just resume where you are, or that you just need a touch from the Lord, know that this altar's open. And we will stay as long as necessary to pray with you this evening. So with this prayer, we're going to take an intermission, but if you want to come to the altar, it's still open. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your message today, dear Lord. Thank you for the miracles that you've let us witness. Lord, for your healing power. Lord, for your touch in each and every one. Lord, for those that are sick and shut in. For those Facebook comments or those live stream comments that are put down, we ask you that you'll touch each and every prayer request, dear Lord. Thank you for letting us be a witness to this baptism this morning for Brother Austin, Lord. And as we pray for him and we pray for those that have turned their life over to you, that our journey that we're on, dear Lord, that we're going to hold tightly to your hand and we're going to walk the path that you would have us to walk. Lord, again, forgive us for our sins. Strengthen us, guide us, and protect us. And Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say... Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God.